Will you turn with me to the portion of Scripture read, John's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 9. Verses 8 and 9 for context. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" And particularly the answer that our Lord gives, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" There are blessings and privileges which come into our lives from time to time. They build up with us. And perhaps we're not aware of the things that God has been slowly but surely giving to us. And so from time to time, we come into a situation just like this one, where the Lord stops us in the path of life. Maybe on holiday or through illness, maybe a setback or some kind, maybe just a quiet time through the day. But the Lord turns our thoughts backwards. Looking back over our lives, and he asks us the question, just as he asked Philip, "Have I been with you for so long, and yet you don't know me?" These words review the spiritual life of Philip. All of the things that are recorded for us in the gospel that he's given. And because they review Philip's life, we can use these same words and illustrations to review our own life. Let us look back and see the different ways in which God had been with Philip and the things that he ought to have learned. We go right back to the very beginning of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 43. "The day following, Jesus sent forth unto Galilee, and findeth Philip, and said unto him, Follow me." The first thing that we have in this episode is the character of the Lord and the calling of Philip. As we gather together all the different strands about Philip from the things that are told us in the Scriptures, Philip was just that ordinary man. When you go through some of the lives of the disciples, you see that they're so different and varied, their characters as well as their gifts. Some of them were profound and deep thinkers, Paul, for example. Some have broad visions. Some have deep and intense passions. Some have a warmth and a compassion about them. On the other side, some have quick tempers. Others have a lot of doubts. But if these are the qualities of the leadership or the stars, as it were, within the disciples, there are so many, many others who were following the Lord and who had been called by the Lord, and they were just ordinary people. They didn't have the qualities that we've just outlined. They were just ordinary people. Sometimes we can be put off in our Christian living. Sometimes we can be put down in our Christian commitment because we don't fit in with them. But Philip was a plain man. He didn't have brilliance of thought, and he didn't have enthusiasm and excess of action. Every time we meet him in the Scriptures, he seems to be out of his depth. Perhaps he was a man of ordinary, perhaps even limited ability. He came from Bethsaida, the house of fishing. It was a place where the Lord had done a lot of work. We're told that in Matthew 11 and verse 20. It was also the home of Andrew and Peter. And what happened was this. Andrew was following John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he quickly pointed all of his followers and disciples to the Lamb that God had appointed. Andrew followed that cue. And Andrew followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And Andrew, having found Jesus Christ for himself, he then came back and told Peter, his brother. But neither of these people were the ones that were used to challenge and to call Philip. Philip wasn't moved by the return of Andrew. Philip wasn't moved by the change with Peter. But he wasn't left where he was either. We are told here that the day following Jesus would go through Galilee. It's the same as John 4 and 4. There was almost a compulsion upon Jesus. He had to go to Galilee. Why? Because he went there to meet with this man, Philip. He there met with him. Called him. And he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. How encouraging that is for ourselves. That the Lord seeks out the ordinary folks. Sometimes we can demote ourselves. Sometimes we can put ourselves down that we are just pawns. We're nobody. Why should the Lord care about me? Perhaps these are thoughts that Philip himself would have had. Because after all, he didn't have the charisma of even Simon Peter or Andrew, his brother. He wasn't up there amongst the gifted few. He was just an ordinary person. But that's the kind of person the Lord went out of his way deliberately to meet, to call, and to speak with. The calling as well as the character of Philip. And notice what happened in Philip's understanding. He says that he found Jesus Christ. And when he found Jesus Christ, things took on an altogether different, totally different meaning and significance. Verse 45, Philip, he goes and he tells Nathanael, but listen to what he says. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You see, when he came to know Jesus Christ for himself, then all of these passages in the Old Testament that spoke about the coming of Jesus, they made sense. He saw their fulfillment in Jesus who stood before him and spoke with him. Jesus is the key. Remember the way which he spoke to the men on the road to Emmaus. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he opened up the scriptures and they were given them best possible Bible study of all. That's the same experience that Philip had here when he met Jesus. Suddenly the pages of the Old Testament that he would have been reading and reading and reading, they were filled with light. He could pick it up and he could say, I understand what that means now. And then he would flick, well, he would roll past the scroll and he would come to another part of the Old Testament, something in Isaiah or something in Jeremiah. And he could say, yes, I know what that means also. How do I know it? Because I've met the person that it speaks about. We're all in darkness. We don't understand the books, the book that is in our hand. We don't understand what it really is saying until we've come to meet and to find Jesus Christ for ourselves. And when we meet him, it's the beginning of a journey. And it's the beginning of a tremendous teaching and learning process. And that's what our Lord is saying to Philip. Have I been with you for so long? I've taught you, you've been shown, you've known, you've heard. All of these things from the very moment when I met you, Philip. You've been learning about me. And yet, how much have you known, remembered, and held on to? We all need this personal meeting then. Don't measure yourself against other people's testimony. Oh, that's how that person came to know the Lord, and therefore I've got to go along that same pattern. No. That person is a different character. Different gifts, different temperament. Maybe a different purpose to fulfill in the world from you. The Lord meets with every one of us individually. Ordinary folk. He meets with us even as he comes in a service just like this one. And he speaks with us and he speaks to us. Plain, simple speaking. Calling us to himself. Well, there we have it. The first thing that our Lord reviews in the spiritual privileges of Philip, his character and his calling. And he asks Philip, remember what happened there. But then we move on to another picture. We move on to another setting and situation. This time it's forward to chapter 6 of John's Gospel. And it's the feeding of the 5,000 this time. Jesus had gone across the sea. The crowds had seen the healing, and so they went after Jesus. He sat on the slope of the hill with his disciples, and he taught them, and the crowds gathered round them. And he didn't look upon that as an intrusion. He saw it as an opportunity. We are told in Matthew's Gospel of the same scene in 14:14 that he was moved with compassion when he saw the crowd. They might have been following him for the wrong reasons. They were coming to be healed physically. But the Lord didn't put them off, and he didn't look upon them as an intrusion because of that. He saw it as an opportunity to correct them and to speak further with them. And as they went round about, as they gathered, as he spoke, our Lord turns and he speaks to Philip. See what he says. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him, he said to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" What is he doing here? He is testing Philip, and he is bringing him a note of triumph. How are we going to feed all these people? He wasn't asking the question because the Lord lacked knowledge and information. No, he was asking the question, like we said, to test Philip. To prove Philip, to make Philip think and to challenge him to trust in the Lord to do what he is planning in feeding so many. Philip saw the situation. He saw it and he judged it from a human perspective. He said, even the wages of 200 working days, that's the equivalent here, even the wages of 200 working days wouldn't even go a little way to providing a little scrap for all these people. Philip isn't highlighting the solution, he is highlighting the impossibility. I don't know. I don't know what to do. That's what he's saying. Despair was coming in upon Philip. He was working according to human standards. He was calculating according to human resources and availability. And he forgot. He forgot that the Lord does not work or is measured by our standards. Remember what Jeremiah says, is anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing is. Just before this episode, if you go back, not to John chapter 6, but if you go back to Luke chapter 9, you'll find that just before this episode of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus had sent them out, all the disciples out, and he sent them out to preach on a preaching tour. And he told them very specifically how they are to behave. Don't take anything with you. Don't be excessively burdened and weighed down. The provision will be made for you along the way. That's what he was saying to them. As you go about my business, as you do my work of preaching the gospel, don't be excessively laden. Provision will be made along the way. And they came back and they could speak to that and they could tell the Lord exactly what had happened to them as they went out in this work. That's the experience that Philip had just before this episode. Here was the Lord testing Philip. He had seen the water turned into wine in Canaan. He heard the teaching of the Lord about the kingdom. He saw the healing the Lord did to those that were sick. And here he was now being put on the spot. He was being tested. He was being teased out in his faith and his trust upon the Lord. And yet, despite all these rich memories he had, despite the rich memories that we might have, he still did not understand. He did not trust as fully as he ought. He was lacking that depth of faith. We don't say that he didn't have faith. He did. But he wasn't strong enough to venture too far out. One commentator, I think, puts it like this. Philip could walk, but he couldn't swim, staying close to the shore. He could walk in the water, but he couldn't swim far away. That's his problem. He lacked spiritual confidence. Now, don't think for a moment that Philip was the only one that felt like that. There were so many others in that company that were exactly the same. Just go down to verse 9, and we find that Andrew is speaking the same language as Philip. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who hath the barley loaves and two small fish." And then notice these words, "But what are they among so many?" You see, they were all struggling with their faith. They were struggling in their reliance on the Lord. They were being tested and drawn out to trust more and more and more. "How long have I been with you, Philip? And yet do you trust? Yet do you know me, to trust in me and rely upon me?" We can be in Philip's company, or we can be so much like Philip ourselves. We've seen, we've known things of the Lord in the past. We've seen his provision in time of need. But when a crisis fresh comes upon us, instead of trusting, we start calculating. We've been tested. We've been drawn out to lean more and more upon Him. Yes, His calling. Yes, His testing. What else do we have of review of privilege? We've seen them for ourselves. The way the Lord speaks to us, the way the Lord deals with us, meets with us in a fresh situation. We'll move on to chapter 12 and verse 21. Here we have the Greeks that were coming to worship at the feast, and the same came there for to whom? Who did they come to? Who did they approach? Of all the crowd of the disciples, of all the followers that were round about Jesus, who did the Greeks go to speak to? They came to Philip, who was of Bethsaida, and desired of him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." These Greeks were God-fearing people. They had left behind the immorality of their culture and the gods of their society. They followed the teaching of the Jews. They wanted to know more. They weren't fully Jewish in all of the traditions and the cultural aspects. They couldn't go all the way into the innermost places of the Jewish faith. But they were interested and they wanted to know more. But who were they going to speak to? Who were they going to approach? Would Jesus welcome them? Who did they speak to? They came to Philip. These Greeks would have thought hard over who to approach. They would have calculated very carefully which one of the disciples will we approach, who can we speak to? And the choice came down to Philip, a choice that was well made. Because Philip treated them sympathetically. He knew where they were coming from. Because he himself had been there once. He knew the fullness and the desire of their hearts, as well as the perplexity of their minds. He could identify with them, and he was prepared to take them forward. What was the problem they had? The problem that is brought out here that Philip was part of, and he could see it and he could understand it. The problem was the extension of the kingdom of God. Would Jesus speak with them and greet them? That was the dilemma. Remember what Jesus had said earlier on. He had given specific instructions to the disciples. He says, don't go near the Gentiles. Limit yourself to the house of Israel. The water was running in a narrow channel. Here were Greeks. They weren't part of Israel. Would the Lord take them? Would the Lord speak with them? Would the Lord address them? And yet the Lord also spoke about having other sheep who were not of this fold. And perhaps the Greeks held on to that, just holding on to no more, just one word, just one phrase, and they built their hope upon it. And perhaps, just perhaps on the basis of that, the Lord will deal with us. Can you grab hold of the dilemma that they had? On the one hand put down, on the one hand encouraged. And who were they going to speak to? They spoke to Philip. And he brought them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord spoke, what he said, he didn't speak to these Greeks, but he spoke about the kingdom of God and his work, and especially about his death. He speaks about a seed going into the ground and dying, and it bringing forth a great plant. And he is speaking in that language about the way in which he is going to die and his death, and what it's going to bring is great blessing, not just to one nation, but his death is going to bring blessings that spreads over the face of the earth. A death that has significance, not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, like these Greeks. Here then is Philip, right at the very center of listening and seeing in a very practical way those who were Gentiles, strangers from afar, being brought in, holding on to just a little phrase, a little word, and the way in which the Lord honors that and speaks to them and tells them of the extent of his death and the benefit it's going to bring. It's not a gospel that is limited to the channel of the nation and the people of Jews. It is a gospel that reaches out to so many others round about. And notice the way in which the Lord focuses it. And he focuses it for Philip, and he focuses it for us. Verse 24, words, verily, verily, truly, truly. It is perhaps the words that have lost their effect with us, but what he's doing there, what the Lord is doing there, is he is drawing attention. He is drawing attention to a solemn message, a new message, telling them what his death is going to achieve. And therefore, lodge it in your mind. Mark it in red letters. Underline it, highlight it, do whatever you will, but listen to what the Lord is saying. He's emphasizing it, and we dare not, and we must not, walk away and turn our backs upon it. Philip, you and me, we dare not, for the good of our souls, ignore it. And the Lord is saying to Philip, as he says to us, have I been so long time with you, Philip? And you've been taught all of these things, and especially the extent of my death, and how much do you know and do you trust in him? One last thought, taking us all the way back, full circle we've come, right back to John 14 and verse 9. Here we are now coming to the end of his ministry, coming to the end of his life. The disciples are still earthbound in their thinking. They're still thinking of human terms. They're still calculating, like Philip was doing. And the Lord is seeking to encourage them. And he tells them that he has prepared a place for them. And then Thomas butts in. Lord, how do we know the way? And the Lord says, gives these tremendous words, I am the way, the truth and the life. And the answer that the Lord gives only provokes a question from Philip. Lord, show us the Father, and that's all that's sufficient for us. Philip is there. He's struggling in his faith. He's an ordinary man. He's struggling in his faith. He's struggling in his understanding. He's struggling to get to grips with what God and Jesus Christ is telling him just now. And he just simply cuts through and he says, Lord, show us the Father, and that's sufficient for us. It's going to solve all of my difficulties. He has a spiritual longing. And he wants the visible presence of his Father in heaven with him, encouraging him, strengthening him. That's what he wants. That's what others had in the Old Testament had. They had encouragements. God visited them. God met them. God blessed them. Lord, give us the same blessing. Give us the same experience. And the Lord says, Philip, have I been with you for so long? And you've seen amazing things at my hand and in your own life, the way he met him and called him, the way he provided for the food for the 5,000, the way he gave teaching and instruction about the extent of his kingdom and the benefits of his death. He has given him tremendous teaching, and he says, Philip, are you not remembering these things? Jesus is equal to the Father, and Jesus is sufficient for his needs. I am with you, Philip. That's what you need. He is the fullest revelation of the Father. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. A challenge to Philip, but also a tremendous comfort. He's not going to be left alone. He's not going to be left to struggle along from this point onwards. He's not going to be left to fight a weary battle. But Jesus Christ says, I will be with you. Ordinary folk. Ordinary people just like us. Nothing special that marks us out. But the Lord met with Philip. And the Lord met so many of the problems that he had. Some of the failings and the frailties. Lack of understanding. Fears and doubts about faith. Jesus Christ knows our frame. And he knows us and he doesn't cast us off. But he meets us and he challenges us and he seeks to build us up and to strengthen us day after day. He does it with Simon Peter. But he does it also with ordinary folk like Philip, like you. And me. He reviews the spiritual privileges that he had. He reviews the spiritual privileges we have. How many have we had? And more importantly, what have we done with them? He has been with us. He's been with us in how many services have we gathered here to listen to? How many sermons can we speak of and address? How many sermons can we remember? How much teaching have we been given? How many experiences and examples from our own life can we quote? How long have I been with you? And yet, are we strangers to him still? Or are we trusting in him? Perhaps frail and weak, sometimes like Philip was. But what a tremendous encouragement that the Lord is interested in ordinary people like you and me. And he meets with us, speaks with us, and calls us. And day, along life's way, he seeks to strengthen and encourage us. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we bless thy name for thy word given to us again this morning, and for the way in which thou dost speak to us from it, and in it we see a reflection of ourselves. We ask of thee, O God, that thou wouldst speak to us in the center of our life and soul, address our need, and bring us out of that need and our darkness with that personal confrontation with thyself, bring us through to faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Bless us then. May thy word be sealed to our hearts now. And forgive us our sins. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Psalm 89, to close with Psalm 89 and at verse 15. O greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know, in brightness of thy face, O Lord, they ever on shall go. They in thy name shall all the day rejoice exceedingly, and in thy righteousness shall they exalted be on high, because the glory of their strength doth stand in thee alone, and in thy favour shall our horn and power exalted be. For God is our defence, and he to us doth safety bring. The Holy One of Israel is our Almighty King. Psalm 89 at 15 through to 18, O greatly blessed the people are.